Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
It's Friday, gotta get down Friday. Everybody,
this is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Just picking the
powered
best looking
by
button.
Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Nick, you know how the Blitz has that little disclaimer before the show starts that the opinions of Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman do not represent Gal Media? Let this be our friendly little reminder to the listening audience today that the music played during The Usual Suspects do not reflect the musical taste and or selections of Nick Sciarra or Joel Blank. It is none other than producer Harrison who's making those selections, because I can tell you that the hate that is coming your way, Harrison, from Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman and the Blitz
coming.
And Jong, you are not prepared for.
I already got my ass chewed out. I think I lost 10 pounds from the ass chewing Fred Fowler gave me.
Check your anal glands while you're
I probably should have.
Okay.
For playing this same exact particular Friday song. So your ass is grass, Harrison. I'm just letting you know.
Yep. That's their deal. That's their bit. So don't touch it. Don't play
and
it.
And we're back on the Blitz.
Yep.
That is my mistake. I was not aware that days of the week were owned by individual radio.
Welcome to Gal Media.
Welcome to
Gal Media. And The Usual Suspects are on.
So that's the first song that they play every Friday to open up with the Blitz. That means that you don't listen to the Blitz. You listen to The Usual Suspects, right?
Oh, of course.
See, he doesn't
smart
listen
man,
to that
though.
Show.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Smart man. We knew we'd bring smart people into the fold. Some text messages to catch up. We're doing some housekeeping, Nick. And then there's some tweets to get to, including Barry Laminack, who obviously is doing exactly what he said he was going to do. Nothing. Because now he's interested in knowing why they want him back.
Yeah, Clayton's acting like anal glands is not a topic of this, like a topic that Barry's willing to talk about.
Exactly.
He'd be
no
all
one talks
over
about
this
penis
topic.
More than Barry Laminack, but we're gonna get killed because we talked about anal glands.
Yeah.
Come on, man.
Yeah. I mean, Barry would, he'd be all over, he'd be concerned. He'd be worried if his cat had anal glands. Do cats get anal glands, by the way?
That I can't answer.
Okay.
But I would hope not.
You're not a cat person, neither am I.
I'm not. My wife's gonna hate that because she's an every animal person. I'm just not a cat person.
Is she trying to like force cats in the house now too?
No, I can't. I'm allergic to them.
Oh, you
I was
a perfect
as a kid.
Excuse.
I was as a kid, but I maintain the fact that I still would be.
Ah,
because I won't.
You're smart.
Yes.
There you go.
409 says cards do have value. It really depends on the player, the brand, and the condition. And someone else said on the cards issue, the fact that they've been more mass produced in the last 10, 15 years means the value have gone down, but the older cards still seem to hold their value
That's
to some
point.
Degree. So I know they used to have those, what is it, Beckett and some of these different companies had magazines that would come
Beckett
up.
Was what I would use.
They would come out and give you value for all the cards. You could
yeah,
look them up.
Does that even still exist?
I don't know.
I think I Googled Beckett one time and I couldn't even find it. I don't even know if they exist, but that's what I used to use to like appraise my cards and stuff like that.
Someone else in the 409 says, Nick, if you have your dog groomed, the groomer will do the anal glands. No
that's what
charge
I asked.
As part of the deal.
That's what I asked. I always do the full service.
If you're getting full service at the grooming, you should probably be, it should be taken care of. Now,
it's like I'm in good hands.
Is it worth a phone call?
Absolutely.
From
the description that you two have been giving me all show, I'm definitely going to inquire.
You don't want the anti-air freshener released in your living quarters, so I would make it the phone call. It's
see,
worth
see,
your
see,
time.
My dog, full disclosure, my dog just kind of, like, you know, she'll take a little pee when every separation anxiety, when you come back in, she just.
Sure.
And it doesn't happen all the time.
Right.
It may happen once every 10 times I come to the door. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So it's like,
she's not a squirter. She's a puddler.
Yeah. Okay. And it's very rare. It's not really like all the time. I don't know if you have any experience with that, Harrison.
Well, puddlers are kind of cute.
Yeah.
It's inconvenient, but it's a little cute. The anal gland thing
cute?
Is not even
cute?
Remotely cute.
I don't like the puddler's part either, though. I don't think
Harrison,
cute.
I'm a little bit worried about what you like to do in your personal
your
life if you
so
think
much?
Puddling is cute.
I love that part, but I don't like her like peeing on my couch.
Oh, well, yeah, definitely not on the couch. If you, I was
or
thinking
on the
more
floor.
Of like a hardwood floor situation.
Yeah, I do have.
Simple cleanup.
Well,
Nick,
I
this is kind of like the foot talk, though. I think we're learning about Harrison.
We are.
Some people, you know, are into feet. Some people might be into puddling.
Harrison's more than a scorekeeper.
Hey, honey, you look kind of cute. Do you puddle?
It's more of a statement on how deeply and troubling I love my dog.
Okay. There's nothing troubling about loving your dog.
And what kind of dog did you say you had?
He's like a shepherd mix. We don't really know. He's kind of small for a shepherd, but he looks a lot like a shepherd.
Yeah, I didn't know either. I told my story how I got scammed, and I thought it was a micro teacup, or it was sold to me as a micro teacup chihuahua, and now it looks very much like a schnauzer.
Schnauzer, yeah.
Yeah, so.
Yeah. So, by the way, 215 area code chiming in saying that Yuri Love has done work with Naughty America as Urizon Beltron. Maybe that'll ring a bell for you, Nick.
So, what? Say that again. What do you mean? I know what Naughty America is. What is he? What was the
he
tweet?
He said she had done work on Naughty America and went by the name of Urizon Beltran, her real name.
No, I really don't. I don't remember. I would tell you. I'd be the first person to admit I really don't remember at all. And yes, the Latina category is one of my favorite categories. It's not a big secret. I've talked about this a lot.
Yeah, but why don't they go really into the Nick wheelhouse and go with Latina?
I knew you were going to go down that road.
Latina, if that was a category.
It was one story, Harrison. One story that I told.
Well, you've been branded for life.
Right around the rodeo time. And one plus size Latina approached me. One.
Not true. You said that's your slump buster.
Okay.
See?
I might have admitted that too.
Yes,
did I admit
have.
That on the air or was that in between, like commercial breaks?
Oh, well, that was on the air.
Dang it.
Yeah. 646 says, thanks for ruining pets and lunch for me forever. No. We're here for you. Hey,
we're trying to help you out.
Sometimes it's bad, yeah.
I mean, if you have a dog, we're helping you out.
Some dogs empty the glands when they drop a deuce. If you're lucky, that's what happens, and it happens outside.
Yeah.
Okay.
I like how you're manning the text, by the way.
Exactly. I'm trying to do Barry's job for him because he's trying to get in on our conversations. 409 says, this anal gland talk makes me miss Barry. Well, when you can make the correlation, you do what you got to do. Chuck's been waiting a long time, and we love Chuck, so we want to get Chuck in on the show on a Friday. Chuck, what's up, my man?
What's going on, fellas?
How you doing, brother? What's going on?
What up, man?
I've been waiting to call because I wanted to wait to kind of three quarters of the season, but do I need to be in on the Rockets again? And because I really don't want to mainline any more heroin. And also, is it true, Joel, that you think we might have a shot at LeBron James? And the only reason why I bring that up is because wasn't D'Antoni an assistant coach on those Olympic teams with all those guys? And that's it, guys. Love the show. Thank you.
All right, Chuck, here we go. We'll start with the second part first. D'Antoni was definitely the offensive coordinator and assistant coach on the USA teams. He knows LeBron James. But for all these people that are just looking for something to talk about right now and get hyped about even more, which I guess maybe gets you finally hyped on a team that's really good in the Rockets, a lot of things have to happen for LeBron to pick Houston. Charlie was here. We were talking about the fact that LeBron still wants to be the highest paid player in the league every year, and he wants to make a lot of money. If he's going to try and maintain the salary he's been making and come to the Rockets, then Chris Paul, who is a free agent and is going to qualify for that supermax deal of $200-some million for a short-term deal with the Rockets of a couple of years, 4 or 5 year deal. He's going to have to take much less if LeBron's going to come here, and they're going to have to work that out. And the Rockets still have to re-sign Clint Capella. So a lot of things would have to fall into place, and it's really, really too early in the game. But a lot of people are saying, if that's something that makes you hopeful, that if he doesn't choose the Cavs, a lot of people are saying the Rockets would be position 1A, not the Lakers, like so many people are rumoring, that LeBron really is good friends with Chris Paul. He sees his best chance to continue his winning legacy by playing for the Rockets if he chooses to leave Cleveland. But also most people at this point are saying Cleveland's still the front runner to maintain his services.
I tend to agree with that. I think I completely agree with Joel. I just think it's a difficult mix when you consider the numbers. But my question to you, Joel, is do you see Tillman Fertitta as a guy that's willing to play like a hard luxury tax to keep those three? And is it worth it? Is it worth it to pay?
If you got to go a little over, but you add LeBron James, then you go a little over and add LeBron James because some of the things that we were talking about.
But you're talking about going a little. I mean, we were talking about it with Charlie Polillo, and you're talking about going a little over even just potentially re-signing Clint.
It is a possibility because I think Charlie was going light. I think Clint Capella, because of the way salaries
more
are so
than 15
inflated,
million a year.
I think he's more in the 18 to 20 range himself.
I think
he's going to get absolutely.
If Ryan Anderson
paid,
can get 20,
indeed, where I was going next. If Matt Bullard on steroids, Ryan Anderson can get himself 20 a year, Why can't Capella?
Yeah. Yeah. It makes perfect sense. I don't think $15 million a year, I guess that made more sense for someone like an Eric Gordon, which is what I think they paid.
No, they paid 15 for Gordon.
$15 million, yeah, for Eric Gordon. Yeah,
they got cheap on Gordon the way it looks right now.
Right.
Yeah, they got off cheap.
Well, yeah, initially it looked a little expensive because you didn't know.
And you don't know his health because he was injured all the time. But he got you sixth man of the year. He's proven to be worth every penny. And with the inflated salaries in the NBA, he's actually a bargain right now.
Yeah. Yeah, it's crazy. It's crazy how that worked, especially being a sixth man. $15 million. I mean, I guess
look at Matthew Dellavedova. Everybody said, "Oh my God, Milwaukee's paying Matthew Dellavedova $9 million a year. They're getting taken to the cleaners." Now, with the way salaries are going for a backup point guard or a fairly decent point guard, you're paying way more than that. Yeah. Not that Matthew Dellavedova still isn't worth $9 million. He's not.
Yeah, but it's actually kind of a deal at this point.
Right,
$9 million is like nothing.
The way the salaries are being thrown around in the NBA.
God, he's like my least favorite player. Not personally, but in terms of what he does on the court.
He's your Matt Barnes?
Kind of.
I can't, you know.
He's did nothing to me. There's no reason why I should hate him. I don't enjoy watching him play basketball.
Yeah, some people think he's dirty. He's, you know, he tries to be tough. But again, he's one of those overachievers that does whatever it takes to try and keep a spot on the team.
The effort is always there for sure.
Yeah, no doubt about it. By the way, some other text coming in. Pugs are horrible about anal glands. They'll make you want to puke. Yeah, we know. So that's coming in. But we'll catch up on, again, the groomer should do it, Nick. That's coming in. So the other, and another great call from the 409, or a great text. They want to bring up that PRP, the platelet-rich plasma thing, and said, don't you feel like if it's illegal in the United States, it should be treated like a performance-enhancing drug? I don't disagree.
I tend to agree.
You know? If they're getting a competitive advantage that's not legal in the United
States,
that's
why I'm surprised that the NBA doesn't have nothing to say about this. They have to have some sort of opinion, at least, on that. I'll look that up in the break.
All right, so we'll look that up. We'll keep moving along. If there's something you want to get in on the show, you can text us, tweet us, or call us, 713-780-3776. That's the ESPN hotline where you can call or text and also hit us up on Twitter. It's Harrison, Nick, and Joel, Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Back during the final hour of The Usual Suspects. It's a Friday, folks. It's all fun and games. Nothing's off the table. Harrison's going to get his ass chewed out by the Blitz. For using the Friday song, but you know how we do it around here on an FEF Friday thing. Anything goes.
Yep.
We had Sam Kinison on as the comedian. Barry was supposed to do his work and give us a taped preview of Sam Kinison. He didn't do that, but he's very pleased that people are saying that they miss him. But Clayton's only saying that, as he just said in his last tweet, because they're talking anal glands, Barry. Anal glands. Please don't ever take vacation again. So, Clayton, pick your poison. You either get anal glands or you get penis talk. It's your choice.
Dr. Dre on 290 says on Twitter, Fred and AJ just had their Cheerios pissed in regards to the Friday song. So, yeah, a lot of people know that that's a Blitz
had
song.
Had a text to the same degree saying, Harrison, look out. JJ's going to be pissed. And you don't want the wrath of the eternal complainer.
Another tweet on Twitter by Tyler. I'm just going to say Tyler. I think it says Moose Frid 91. But of the four, I would let Springer walk. What would you do?
So, yeah, we've got several questions about of that core four I was talking about. Bregman, Altuve, Correa, Springer. Who do you let walk? If I can keep three of the four, I let Bregman walk.
That's what I thought. I would go with Bregman only because he's got the value to where you can bring something back, right?
Well, he's a better bat. I think Springer's a better bat than Bregman, and he's a great defensive outfielder at all three outfield positions. I think because of the fact that you can find a third baseman that maybe
not bring something back, but just the fact that if you let him walk, you can use that money to get something
and you
relatively
want,
close is what I mean.
In most cases, kind of like the Angels are kind of going with the Bregman philosophy now, but in most cases, you want a little bit more pop with your third baseman. But you gain more by how good a defensive player Bregman is as well. But for me, of the three of the four, because of the fact that the other three are just so head and shoulders, top of the game kind of players, I would let Bregman go.
I think he would take it the most personal, too, because he's kind of like,
right.
He's probably the biggest. I don't know. I'm not going to describe him as a loose cannon, but if you want anoint one player as one player being the closest to a loose cannon on the Astros roster, I would probably say Bregman, just because what he's done on Twitter.
Well, it's also immaturity. Yeah, I mean, he's the loose cannon because he's immature and he's still young. And
I think that's a part of the reason why he's tempted to hold on to. I mean, if I can kind of see why someone would say Springer, because he still has that youth. He's super young. He's like super athletic. He's really, really passionate. So, I mean, it's going to be a tough decision regardless. And like you mentioned, I don't know if the owner is going to be willing to pay out salaries like the Yankees. I don't think he wants to spend that kind of money.
Yeah, I would tend to agree with you. And again, you already have issues on your books that you're going to have to deal with coming up because of the fact that Keuchel's going to be a free agent like we talked about. So you got a lot of financial responsibilities coming up that I don't think you're going to be able to balance all of them. And you're going to have to find, you know, you're going to have to just sacrifice in certain regards and just have to admit some of these guys are not going to be here. Yes, just be happy they were here long enough to get you a World Series. But it's almost impossible to maintain all of these guys with all the money that they have deserved to get and they want to get when you have the payroll that you have.
Yeah, at least two of the three Houston teams, the big Houston teams, have that problem. They have a situation where it's going to be a struggle to keep a lot of the good talent that they already have on the at least it's kind of a good problem, but also a bad problem. But I did want to get to this interesting, juicy quote from someone that you might know very well, or at least Kevin McHale might know very well. But he was on TNT, and it sounded like a shot that he was taking at the Minnesota Timberwolves front office. But I'll read this quote. "I like individuals, not so much on the organizations. Obviously, I'm going to be with Minnesota and the players, not so much upstairs. I don't really deal with Minnesota's upstairs. They suck. But Boston, all day. You know I'm a C till I die. I always root for Brooklyn. But other than that, I don't really get into too many of the upstairs." Now, I don't know if that's necessarily shot at Kevin McHale, because we do know that Kevin McHale was the Timberwolves head coach or the general manager
when KG was there.
Yeah. And they obviously had a relationship. There were some good times. It was if you ask me, my favorite time during Kevin Garnett's career was at Minnesota. No question.
I loved him as a Timberwolf because of the fact that he was the one guy that wasn't going to do the kisses and the bro hugs. And when he stepped between the lines, he was ready to step on someone's neck to win a game. Kevin McHale and Kevin Garnett had a falling out. They've since kind of mended the fences. And we talked about it with McHale on the show last year. I think that from the standpoint of an ownership perspective in Minnesota, Glenn Taylor and his group are never going to be popular with KG because he wanted to finish his career there. Minneapolis was his home.
Right.
Even though it worked out for him in Boston, I think the trade kind of blindsided him. I think contract negotiations, McHale talked about, like he would come into the office and expect the same kind of conversations with McHale that they would have on a daily basis. But when they found out it was about money, he found out it was a business and he didn't like it too much. So I don't know who's still in the front office from those days. I would say, though, that Glenn Taylor's not his favorite owner of all time. But I think that obviously when you're treated like the big three was treated in Boston and you won a championship, you can see why the player, you know, can say certain destinations and certain organizations mean more to him.
Yeah, I just think it's interesting that you take that route because there was still, I mean, he made his name in Minnesota. I mean, he obviously made his name coming out of high school. This is before the one and done year, so he came straight out of high school.
Farragut Academy in Chicago.
And he was just insanely good. I mean, you knew right away that he was going to be a good player right out of high school.
That's the thing. We were talking about these guys because of Lonzo Ball that come into the league and, you know, it takes them a couple years. And people were saying it took LeBron to. No, right away you could tell LeBron was special. You just didn't know when he was going to maximize his potential. Kevin Garnett was another one of those guys. He came in skinny like Brandon Ingram, but right from the get-go, even skinny, he was effective. He was blocking shots. He was playing defense. He was running the floor. He was offensively gifted, which a lot of these guys are not. See Lonzo Ball shot mechanics. So different animals, different type of. We talked about different era with Mario Elie, but you can't compare Lonzo Ball to the type of talent we're talking about with Kevin Garnett with LeBron James.
Yeah, I did. A lot of people are making their argument for, and I kind of was one of the pro Lonzo Ball guys too, like for a while. I mean, at least in the past 2 or 3 weeks, because I do think he can see the floor and I think he'll be a decent player. But have you been seeing some of the statistics that they've been posting about, well, this is how many assists he had his first season or through his first so many games in the NBA, and this is what LeBron had. And it's just like, it's you don't know. Fair. It isn't fair because LeBron was just, like you mentioned, I forgot who the Clippers. I've mentioned this on the air before, but I forgot who the Clippers coach was at the time. But he really didn't believe that LeBron James was 18. He was like, I want to see his birth certificate, because he was just that developed at 18 years. He didn't look like a Brandon Ingram going into the NBA. He didn't look like a Kevin Garnett or even a Kevin Durant going into the NBA. He looked like a fully grown man.
Yeah, no doubt about it.
I mean, he had big, broad shoulders.
We talked about this earlier in the week, I think, when we said, just from an athletic standpoint, he's a freak of nature.
No
question.
The
fact that you could be like like the most athletic tight end in the NFL, but you're playing basketball and you're 19 years old or 18 years old, it's just unheard of. You just don't see that.
No.
And to be able to fly through the air like he did, does and do the things that he did at that age is just absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah. I mean, he was just an amazing player. But, yeah, I don't know. I would encourage Kevin Garnett, but at the same time, I don't know what the discussions were in the front office. Mm-hmm. So he might have gotten screwed. We don't know. I would encourage him not to do that, though, because that was a big part of his career. Like, I know a lot of people remember him as a Celtic because of the championship and because he was with Paul Pierce. But I still, a good portion of his career, I still go back to Timberwolves and what he used to do.
Well, he may try and choose, and obviously in the Hall of Fame, you just do a bust. But if you were to choose what team you would go in to the Hall of Fame on, like you do for baseball, Kevin Garnett has to go in as a Timberwolf. Yeah, he won a championship with the Celtics, but his greatest years were with Minnesota. Absolutely.
But what does he want? He probably wants to go in as a Celtic.
I would say he wants to go in as a Celtic.
Yeah.
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 So, all right. So, we're going to get to a break. We got a half hour to go in the big show. When we come back, we'll get to some other stuff before we wrap it up. But then, right after us, it's going to be Fred, AJ, Jong, and the Blitz. It might be a repeat of a song that we've played on this show accidentally, as Nick and I would say, that they'll play during their show on a Friday. But nonetheless, they'll take you home till 7 o'clock right here on ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, we're back on The Usual Suspects. It's Nick. It is Harrison, who's going to catch a world of hurt.
Two more segments to go. This show has just flown by, though.
It has.
Despite being a light news day.
Well, despite being criticized by one person in particular. But he's
our boy Clayton.
Yeah. So there you go. We can play that, too. So Clayton is part of
he is a suspect.
Yeah. We're going to allow it. that's about the best we can do. So we got Nick Picks coming up in the final segment, and Barry is all giddy because he has closed the gap.
He has.
College, he didn't have a chance. It's over. I crushed you both.
You dominated in the college football realm,
but,
no question.
He now has a chance. So because you say there's a chance, he's on vacation, but yet so worried about his picks. So
I do have his picks. I will reveal his picks for him on the air.
In the next segment.
Absolutely.
Yes, absolutely. Some of the news, I don't know if you saw some of this stuff that I was putting on the rundown today, but crazy stuff. More sexual harassment.
Yeah, I actually wanted to get into some of this.
All over on ESPN. Now, there's a woman that is claiming that she was harassed by John Buchagras, the Sports Center anchor, and made allegations about him sending a pic without a shirt on and some other things. And ESPN, which normally doesn't respond, actually responded to them and gave the full context, which the woman wasn't giving in their estimation, of the text, and the fact that he didn't send a shirtless picture to basically come on to her. There was a conversation that was going on back and forth between the two of them, and she said that she was grossed out by people sending unsolicited shirtless photographs to her and calling her certain names. And he said, well, at least you don't have to look like me when I'm cooking waffles without a shirt on or something like that, and sent that picture. He was kidding.
Right.
So they're trying to actually combat one of the alleged lawsuits with some of the full texts from Buchagras. But ESPN can't get out from under this thing because it's up and down all over the place there as well.
Yeah, I think the two ones that stick out to me now is the gentleman from, I don't know, gentleman, but the dude from PBS, Tavis. And then that was one of the two stories.
He's fighting it too.
Is he?
Yeah, he's coming out saying if it's consensual relationship and consensual sex, how can that be?
Right. And then the other one was the story that Salma Hayek wrote on the New York.
Harvey Weinstein.
Wow.
The op-ed.
I read that entire story. It's pretty disgusting. It's pretty detailed.
But it's also, it seems to be pretty much the norm of a guy with power. There's more on Matt Lauer coming out, too.
That's the consistent, that's the common denominator. It's all about them.
The fear factor.
Yeah, and manipulating them because they have the power, they have the connections, they can get you into an industry, they can make you the star. And that's, it's basically 99% of the time, that's what it is, which I think is bad. I don't know why it's like that, but it is. But it goes to show, if you don't have that power, you're not that person, or are you that person all the time? You just were given the power and you...
Yeah,
That's
the other thing, like I brought up to Barry, too. The other thing that I don't get is, I understand that people have had pickup lines in the past. People have had, you know, certain things they try to do to try and build a relationship or get conversation going with a female from a male perspective. But why is everybody into dropping their drawers and walking around opening their robes? And I don't care if you are a tripod. When did that become a thing where all of a sudden you ask a chick over and the next thing you know, you just open your robe and you start showing your wares?
Yeah, I don't know why. I don't know why that's an approach by men at all. And you know what? Just stop taking shirtless pics of you guys. I mean, don't send it to... If you're going to take a shirtless pic, put it up on Facebook or something. I don't want to see it. But don't be texting it to females.
Come on, Nick. Let's be honest. In social media these days, with what you see on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram, more and more, it's the selfies. And if it's not the selfies, then it's the look at me shots. And if the look at me shot is a guy, his shirt's off, the girls are wearing whatever that, you know, they can get. Yeah.
I mean, the selfies are not getting you in trouble unless there's something, you know, like incriminating or... too revealing, and you happen to be someone who's
like
a public
the other
figure.
Day. I mean, don't show your mom a picture of your new girlfriend when you still got the freaking the handcuffs and the wrist supports for rough sex on the doorknobs behind you.
Yeah,
you got to be careful what's in the background as well as what's in the foreground.
Absolutely.
So it's crazy. Yeah, the other thing I wanted to get to too, which was great. Tiger Woods' caddy, which is Fred Couples' longtime caddy. We're going to get a little golf talk for Josh Rapp here real quick. But he went on the air recently to talk about the competitive spirit of Tiger Woods as Tiger makes a comeback. And he said that in their relationship with the player-caddy relationship, Joe LaCava and Tiger obviously spend a lot of time together. And that's off the course as well, where he stays in the house on Tiger Woods' property, the guest house. And he said that to show the competitive spirit of Tiger Woods, they were playing basketball and decided to play horse. It didn't go so well for Tiger. Let's just say he didn't let him forget about it. Here's the audio from Joe.
Then I get him on the baseline from 10, 12 feet, and I beat him 9 games in a row. This is a true story. 9 games in a row, he did not talk to me the rest of the day.
And he probably didn't get you a popsicle either.
No, no question. I mean, I didn't even get the old text, dinner is ready, because I stay across at the beach house. I didn't even get that text that night. I had to get takeout.
Oh, my God. I love it. I mean, he's so competitive. It's not even funny. He loses awesome. The basketball, and I'm not talking to you the rest of the day.
No, he didn't announce it, but he just didn't. And I'm telling you, it was 9 games in a row. And I'm telling you, like you say, so competitive. Even at something like that, he just – but the thing with him is if I missed a shot – which I missed plenty of shots, but if I missed a shot, he'd go back down to the three because he's like, couldn't make the three. But it's harder, obviously, to make a three. I go right back to the baseline at 12-foot, and he couldn't make it.
So that goes with what they were talking about with the popsicle. If you read Hank Haney's book, when he worked with Tiger Woods too, they would be in the same house, in Tiger's house, in the living room, watching TV. Tiger would get up, go get himself a popsicle, and go back and sit down. And finally, Hank Haney one day was like, you know, offer me one too? And he goes, you know where the refrigerator is. If you want to get one, go get one. I mean, dude, he's just wound a different way.
Lou, usually when you're that talented or you've proven yourself that much or you're just that great at something, there's something quirky or weird about you that makes you who you are. And certainly Tiger is one of those athletes.
You're talking about Harvey Weinstein? Oh, you're talking about Tiger Woods. Okay,
yeah. It's funny though, because I Googled Tiger Woods and I don't know if it's just on my computer, but when you Google Tiger Woods, the first picture you get, you know, like on the right, the wiki picture, mm-hmm. is his mugshot. It's not that. It used to be like one of his golf.
The last one where he got pulled over after taking the drug.
And he was asleep in the Mercedes or whatever.
The rims.
Yeah. It's like the worst picture of Tiger Woods because you see the receding hairline and you see the hair thinning out.
And it's gone, by the way.
Is it?
Oh, his hair is just, it's fading fast.
Has he gone with the shaved look? Not yet?
Not yet.
He's a golfer. You can't go with the shave look if you're a golfer, can you?
The other thing is you can't win because as golfers, because especially most of them have endorsements for hat deals, you're going to have the most uneven looking tan in the world regardless whether you shave your head or not. You're going to be white from the bridge of the nose up and you're going to be extremely tan from the nose down.
Yeah, I think Matt Kuchar has a very interesting white dome under his hat.
Kuch, because he starts to shave his head. And the other one, I'm trying to think, there's a couple other ones that where guys are now bald on top. And it's just the Jim Furyk is one of them where, you know, he gets the tan with the hat on. And the minute he wins a championship and he takes his hat off, you're like, oh, my God, is he wearing like a skull cap? It's just a bad, bad look. But Stuart Sink is the other one I was thinking of. But, yeah, so there's some golf talk for you, Josh Rapp. All right, we'll get into our final segment, the Nick Picks, and then we'll wrap it up and turn it over for the weekend to Fred, AJ, and the Blitz to take you home. Don't go anywhere. It's the usual suspects, ESPN 97.5. Yeah,
one's for you. Baby, you my everything. You all I ever wanted. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Back on the final segment of The Usual Suspects, it's Nick in for Barry. It's Harrison taking all kinds of heat for stealing the Blitz theme music on a Friday.
Is he?
Yeah, I'm getting a ton of it on Twitter.
Are you?
Yep. the text messages.
It's over.
Notice has been sent, and there will be a crossing of the paths here in roughly 17 minutes or so. Yep. So it'll be interesting to see how that plays out. But it is time for our traditional Friday afternoon, last segment, Nick Picks. So that means with Barry extremely close to me now on NFL picks and closing the gap, even though he's out, he wanted to make sure and was adamant that he got his picks in because he has a chance to catch me, unlike both of you had no opportunity to do that in college.
Not in college football, but we or at least one of us have an opportunity to
save face.
Yeah.
Yeah. So with that being said, Harrison, strike up the band. It's time to get into Nick Picks.
All right. We will start. We have five games, and I think we're going to do bowl games at some point, right?
We'll wait.
Barry comes
There's
back.
There's some BS bowls this weekend we don't care about, but for the big bowl games, we'll do them next week.
All right. We'll save the Texans game for the last pick, but we'll start with the Chargers and the Chiefs. The Chargers are on the road against Kansas City, +1 for the Chiefs at home. Who do you got, Joel?
I like the Chargers to stay hot. They're the hottest team in that division right now. The Chiefs have looked like they are all kinds of in disarray. I think regardless of the point spread, it's a pick'em type game, and I think I'll take the hotter of the two teams. I'll take the Chargers.
I think it's kind of hard to pick the Chiefs right now just because of the inconsistency that they've had. Yeah, they came into the NFL season as one of the hottest teams in the NFL just because of all the games that they were winning, but I just think the Chargers are getting hot at a better time, and so I'm going to go with the Chargers, and I think Barry Laminack has picked the Chargers as well. So that is one game.
The one thing I will say, though, Nick, to factor in that we haven't looked at, weather and the home field advantage for the Chiefs may play a factor, but I still will stick with my pick.
Yeah, that is huge, though. But I don't know if there were a few players that have absolutely no problem with it. I think there was a few quotes out there by some Chargers players, but you won't know until you get there because that weather can definitely impact your game. Yep. All right, we're going to go to a game that might mean a little something to you, Joel.
Mm-hmm.
Your Packers. They're playing the Panthers. -3 for the Panthers at home. Is that a fair line? I think it's fair.
I think it's a fair line. I think it should be a good game. I got to go with my heart on this one, as I always do. The man is back. They need wins to try and even have a chance.
Are you
going
to cover
your
face with that first hit? Like when he gets hit first.
Oh, yeah. There's no doubt about it. But I will be tuned in. Like unlike the Brett Hundley era, I will be watching with bated breath. But I'm going to take my Packers to get the first of three in a row they need to get.
It's essentially a pick 'em, just like the Chargers and Chiefs game. It's essentially a pick 'em game.
Mm-hmm.
They're giving it -3 for the Panthers, I guess, because
that's
they're at
the home field. Yep.
Yep. I'm a little worried that Aaron Rodgers is going to come in at the wrong time, and I know he's such an elite quarterback, and he can work with very little. I know that. I just don't know the very first game he's going to have that impact that you want him to. I think he's going to have an impact.
I told you the other day.
But
he's
will
gonna
it be
rusty.
Enough? Yeah, will it be enough of an impact? And I totally see some rust. I mean, yep. It's going to be hard. What was it, 7 games that he missed?
I think, yes, 3-4.
He was 3-4 for Hundley. So I'm going to go with the Panthers only because of the potential rust that I see Aaron Rodgers might have.
Mm-hmm. I wouldn't be surprised. Barry is also going with the Panthers.
Yes, so that's two. Is he? I didn't even look at his.
Yeah, I saw his picks.
Okay, so he's going with the Panthers. I'm going with the Panthers, and you're going with the Packers. Mm-hmm. Let's move on to the Rams and the Seahawks. -2.5 for Seattle at home.
Great game, man. This is a really, really good game.
So many close games.
Yeah, and Barry is taking the Seahawks at home. I just think that the Seahawks, it's not their year. Their defense is depleted. I know that they have to have this win. I know how good Russell Wilson is. But I really think that this Rams team is for real. I think that they show a lot more potential, and I'm going to take the Rams on the road.
I've only picked against the Seahawks once at home this season, so I'm kind of
torn.
I hate doing it. But what Russell Wilson can do is, I think he's kind of shown what Deshaun Watson can kind of do for the Texans, mm-hmm. is that he's supplemented for a lot.
Shoulder the load.
A little bit. So that's the only reason why I'm going with the Seahawks. It's a really close game. It's hard for me to pick, but I'm going to pick the Seahawks at home on this one.
Barry also with the Seahawks in that game. And then the big game of the weekend, this one is a doozy.
Yeah, Patriots. The Patriots versus the Steelers, +3 for Pittsburgh.
Pittsburgh getting 3 points at home. An emotional game. Should be big. I don't like the way the Steelers defense is playing. But I do realize how important this game is to the Pittsburgh Steelers for the home field advantage with Ryan Shazier's situation still in the balance. At home, I'll take the Steelers.
I'm going to pick the Patriots on this one, only because this is the time where I think Bill Belichick is like laser focused and Tom Brady's going to be laser focused. And I know going to Pittsburgh is going to be hard and it's going to be really difficult for them to win a game. But you mentioned something that I was going to mention is that the Steelers defense, are they going to be able to put up and deal with Brady in that offense? And normally you would say yes, but when you look at the past two or three games, it was a little bit chippy. So you got to be worried about what Tom Brady can do to this defense. Only based on that, I'm picking the Patriots on the road against the Steelers.
Big one. All right.
What did Barry Laminat pick?
Barry he picked also the Steelers. Picked Steelers.
All right.
Yep.
Last one. And I don't think anybody's going to come to it. I don't know. Well, let's see. The Texans versus the Jags, they're on the road. You saw what the Jags did to the Texans at home the first time, and it was embarrassing. How many sacks was it? Was it 8, 10,
8 or 9,
11? Well, it was like 27 million sacks in that game. Yep. I don't know how many sacks were in that game. I don't think the Texans are ready for the Jags. The Jags have proven themselves to be a much better team in the AFC South. I'm not sold on Tennessee being the, and I think you agree with me, I don't think Tennessee is the best team in the AFC South. I think the Jags have proven that. I'm picking the Jags against the Texans. Sorry.
I think we all took, and Barry picked Jacksonville to make the playoffs anyway, so he was a big
Jags. Yeah, you know Barry's so picking the
across
Jags.
Across the board, we went with the Jags there.
-11.
That's a big spread, though, right?
-11.
TJ Yates at quarterback doesn't change anybody's mind? All right. No, I guess not. All right, so with that is Nick picks. We'll see how it goes, see if Barry can actually surpass me in wins and a record for the picks. But mark it down, AJ. I went with the underdog in almost every game, every pick that this week. So kiss my ass.
I don't know what I usually pick. I don't know. Did he make that criticism against me, too?
He makes a criticism against the show. People know that if you want the real, true brass tacks of betting, you stick for Fred and AJ.
Yeah.
We do it for
I'm
fun.
I'm guilty of picking favorites sometimes.
Yeah, forgive us for having fun on our show, too. Good Lord. Hey, I want to bring this up to you guys. I don't know if you saw this or not, but this is crazy BS stuff from UPS. Obviously, it's the holiday season, too, so everybody's worried about their packages. But this was a crazy one. The New York Post had an article where UPS lost a Canadian man's check for $846,000, which was an inheritance check. They are refusing to pay or refund the missing money 10 months later, but they are offering to pay $32 with an apology letter for the price of the shipping for the check that was lost.
What?
Are you kidding me?
Yeah, that would not go over well with me.
Yeah, so I don't know what idiot puts the UPS label on a $846,000 check. You might want to send that certified.
Yeah.
You might want to make sure that there's a trackability with it. But at the same time, you know, UPS, you might want to step up and at least try and track that bad boy.
Yeah. If you're UPS, you have some sort of responsibility, I would imagine.
With an inheritance, can't you go back to the inheritor and say, can't we just get another check issued and cancel that one?
That's kind of the situation that I'm in right now, and that's what I would have done.
Right.
I mean, I would have done that. I mean, it's kind of a tricky situation.
A lot more red tape with an inheritance.
Absolutely.
I get it. Yeah.
Absolutely. So, but yeah, I mean, that's the approach I would have taken. I would have done it that way.
Yeah, so that's crazy. I saw that just to wrap things up with some crazy stories of the week. The other one, and I tweeted this earlier. I don't know if you saw it, Nick, but this is the weirdest thing I've ever seen in my life. This hipster guy that has some Brooklyn restaurants decided to build a house made completely of, you know, those railroad storage containers. They look like, you know, big metal crates with on like a railroad car.
Yes, I know.
Okay, he built an entire house out of these crates. Spent $4 million on a plot of land that he already paid $700,000 to buy on a pretty hot property in Brooklyn. And now he's built the house completely of those units.
Does it even look good at all?
It looks terrible. I just showed you a picture. Yeah.
It looks like an industrial. It looks very industrial, which is what containers are supposed to look like.
Now,
very industrial.
He said his eateries and his restaurants have that kind of industrial feel, as you mentioned, so that he was fine with it. I'll retweet it again if you guys want to see it. But, you know, inside, thankfully, it isn't just those containers.
It's like nice.
There's hardwoods.
I was about to say, I bet you the inside
of
this.
And you can tour the inside of the house. But literally, if you're going to spend $4 million on a house, are you really going to make it out of these storage containers? And the storage containers, by the way, $3,000 a piece. He needed 18 containers.
Golly.
Yeah.
I wouldn't do that at all. I don't know why anybody would do anything like that. I do see that there's a trend of like smaller homes. So I can see people like getting containers to build like a much smaller home, but not buy all those containers, spend $700,000 on a piece of land, and then spend how much money to build it? I mean, that's...
Yeah, $4 million.
Yeah, I've seen the smaller homes be a trend because it's economical. It's cheap.
Now, are you aware of Morgan Spurlock, you guys?
Mm-mm.
He was the guy that supersized me. He did the movie and everything about living on the McDonald's food and
yep,
all that.
Yep, I know he is, yep.
He didn't think he was going to get in too much trouble, and he started tweeting the other night about this entire thing with Harvey Weinstein and all the sexual misconduct, and started saying, I'm part of the problem. He went on to detail several situations in his life where he has violated those codes of conduct with women.
He's a smart man, this guy.
Is he? Is he a smart man, Nick?
You know
because
why?
Let me tell you what happened, all right? He went out and did all... Hold that thought for just a second. But before he went out and told everybody in the world all of his shortcomings in more ways than one... And forgot about the fact that he was being employed by LeBron James to do a I Promise School at-risk youth film that he was being paid for, which was to debut in fall of 2018. Since he has posted his tweets, he has been relieved of his duties from LeBron James.
However, with the way these stories are popping up, did he do himself a favor? Yeah, he lost money. Yeah, he probably... I'm not condoning any of his behavior. He's obviously a scumbag. I'm just saying he brought it to light first. He's trying to obviously start, you know, he's obviously trying to be preventative.
If you read these tweets, Nick, he probably never should have put fingers to keyboard.
You think so?
Oh my God. Some of the things he admitted to. Hope there's a...
But you think he's well off and he probably doesn't care? I mean, I don't know how much money he's made off
I'm
the whole
super... legally now. I'm talking about some of the things he did. Could be considered rape.
Right. But will he, because he brought it to light, will he serve like a less punishment? Like, will he?
Well, I think that there's a statute of limitations that probably expired. But at the same time, dude shouldn't be admitting this because he may never work again.
Yeah.
It's a true Matt Lauer like situation. You may never get another job the rest of your life. So you better be well off.
Yeah, absolutely. So he's fine.
He said he just wants to golf the rest of his life, and he can afford to do that, making $28 million a year. All right, we appreciate you listening to us. Before we turn over to Fred, AJ, and the Bliss, I wanted to tell you about the good people at Texas Can Academies. I've been telling you about them for a long period of time now. It's Houstonians helping kids in need in the Houston area, and how you do that is just by making a donation. I know with Hurricane Harvey, there were a lot of cars that are put out of service. Maybe it's a boat, a motorcycle, a truck, a trailer. Whatever you got, running or not, if you want to make a donation and just get it off your property and you don't want to pay for a tow truck, this is the way to do it, because you call Texas Can Academies. You tell them what you got, you tell them where you live, and they do the rest. They come to you with a tow truck, they take away the vehicle, they do all the paperwork, you get a nice tax deduction, and tax time is right around the corner, so that helps. And then you mention ESPN 97.5, you get a $50 gift card. That's where the process really begins. They take your vehicle and they turn it into resources for kids trying to get a second chance at an education. It could be book money, it could be bus fare, it could be eyeglasses, it could be warm meals, and so much more. It's a distraction if the kids don't have these resources, but it's an advantage if they do, so they can concentrate on the books. All you got to do is call 713-225-4226 or you log on to HoustonCarsForKids.com. You make sure that you let them know you have a donation. They walk you through the process. You feel good at the end of the day knowing you made a donation and you come up with a tax deduction and a $50 gift card. They get the resources to help kids in need. It's a program that keeps on giving in H-Town, and that's why I speak for them. Right off the car, not the kid.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
Hey, sweetie, your mother showed me this Carvana thing for selling the car. I'm going to give it a try. Wish me luck. Me again. I put in the license plate. It gave me an offer. Unbelievable. Okay, I accepted the offer. They're picking it up Tuesday from the driveway. I haven't even left my chair. It's done. The car is gone. I'm holding a check. Anyway, Carvana, give it a whirl. Love ya.
So good, you'll want to leave a voicemail about it. Sell your car today on
Carvana.
Pickup fees may apply.
Hi everyone, this is James and Dan. We are two-fourths of the hit UK podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. Every week we sit down behind some microphones and share with each other the best things we've found out over the last 7 days.
Yes, so for instance, Dan, did you know that you cannot tie a knot in four dimensions?
I knew that's where I was going wrong. Interesting.
There are all sorts of reasons why, but we would go into them all on our podcast, along with loads of extra facts as well.
That's right. And if you want to check it out, No Such Thing as a Fish is available wherever you get your podcasts.